to be together today, isn't it? Even if we are mourning or grieving or sad, it is good to be together, to know we're not alone. That even though we might be in different houses, we are one people, one body, one family, and we are not alone. Today's going to be a little bit different than I expected it to be yesterday. But nevertheless, I believe God has got things he wants to say to us today. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to be easy to hear. But I believe God wants to say to us through this series and through this passage two things this morning. The first is this: be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And the second, equally as difficult, have faith. That's what I believe this passage today is God wanting to say to us, is have faith. And that's not easy. It's not easy to have faith when the world seems so scary and so difficult. It's not easy to have faith when you feel like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling and just coming back down again. But nevertheless, the call is have faith. A few weeks ago, I was sharing how my daughter Rennie has been teaching me about prayer, how she points at things and just says thank you and trusts my love for her is enough that I will give them to her. But also shared of the moments where she points at something that isn't the best for her, that's going to hurt her, that in the long run is going to cause damage, and I don't give it to her. In that moment, she cannot understand why, even though I love her, I won't give it to her. I find myself in that situation today, and I have to have faith that God loves me enough to not answer all my prayers. Be strong and courageous and have faith. That's, I believe, God's messages to us this morning. Let's just pray. Father, for some of us, this is a really difficult day. A day of grief and mourning and sadness. And your words to us are both an encouragement and difficult. But Lord, we want to wrestle. We want to wrestle with you. We want to wrestle with the difficulties of walking your way in this world. We want to wrestle with your word. We want to wrestle because we want to get deeper into you, to know you deeper, to know your plan for us, to know you. And so, Lord, we ask you this morning, by your Spirit, to draw close to us, to comfort us, to encourage and exhort us, to lead us on. In Jesus' name, amen. This is an incredible story in Joshua 2. And we're not going to have time to do it justice today. I really encourage you, go and look at it. I don't know if you'll be able to hear anything I'm saying today, frankly. If not, check out this again on the website. And check out, we've got a whole new resource page on the website that has a whole load of resources on how to look at this book. But also things to help in this time. You know, in particular, I know today I've been blessed by a song list that's been made for us for this series. So go check out that page on the website if you want to know a little bit more and delve into this story. But today, our story is about Rahab, an unlikely hero, the most unlikely hero. At the beginning of a book all about Israelites, we find a hero that isn't, you know. We've just been introduced to Joshua, who is going to be the hero of this story. And then the very next chapter, is a story all about somebody completely different. The most unlikely of heroes. She's unlikely because, first of all, she's a woman. I know I'm not saying women can't be heroes. We know of women heroes. But I'm saying in this context, the idea that a woman would save others is just unbelievable. Women were seen as little more than possessions at this sort of time. So, you know, that's the going, not going for her. She's an unlikely hero. She's a woman. But not only that, but she's a Canaanite. This book is so about the Israelites, taking the land God has given them. It's an Israelite-focused book. And yet the first hero of this story is a Canaanite. It's nuts. And the third is that she's a prostitute. I mean, she's looked down on by her own people, let alone the people of Egypt, of Israel. She's the most unlikely of heroes. And I thank God for that. Because in Rahab, I see myself. I think we should all be seeing ourselves. God loves to use the broken and weak things of this world to shame the strong, to show that he is the one with the power, not us. In a story all about judgment, the first act we find is one of mercy and a hero of the most unlikely, from the most unlikely place. But she is the star of this story. She is the hero. And the thing that commends her to us, that means that she's mentioned all the way through the Bible, is her faith. It's her faith that is to be commended. It's her faith that makes her the star of this story. It's this stunning revelation. You know, she is mentioned not just in Joshua, but actually she's mentioned in Hebrews. There's this passage in Hebrews where the writer lists all of these heroes of faith. And there are only two women on the list. One is Sarah, the wife of Abraham, from whom the whole of Israel is descended. The second of only two is Rahab. She is commended for her faith and for this stunning revelation that she gives to the spies in verse 11, I think it is. For the Lord your God is the God of heaven and on the earth below. The Lord your God is the God in heaven above and on the earth below. Your God is the God of heaven and earth. This is a stunning revelation from this Canaanite woman. It's stunning because she would have had many gods. The Canaanites had gods of everything to do with the earth and everything to do with heaven. And she in this moment has said, no, but your God is better than all of them. It was within her understanding to have just gone, oh, that God looks good. Let's just add him to my pantheon. Let's just add him to the group of gods that I have. But no, she recognized that their God, Yahweh, was the God of all heaven and the God of all the earth. He was the God above all gods. It's a stunning revelation because of where she's come from. But it's a stunning revelation because how does she know? You know, the Israelites don't go around evangelizing. Their understanding is our God is our God and he's for us and just for us. It's not quite what he said, but that's where their understanding seems to be in this moment. How does she know? Well, she tells us. She tells us in this little speech, one of the longest uninterrupted speeches from a woman in the entire Bible. She says, we have heard. She believes because she's heard. We have heard of how your God parted the Red Sea so you could walk through it. We have heard of how he defeated the kings of Sion and Og. Spoiler alert, he's about to do both of those things again. We'll read that in a few passages time. He's about to do those things again. But she has faith because she has heard. She has heard of what God has done and has decided to leave behind her friends, to leave behind her city, to leave behind her gods and throw herself into this God who she has come to this conclusion is the God in heaven above and on the earth below. The God of heaven and earth. I imagine this is why she's commended for her faith. because she believes, wholeheartedly believes, and throws her life on the line for this faith from having heard of what he has done. Having heard what he has done, she comes to the conclusion he is the God of heaven and earth. So I want to ask you potentially a very difficult question this morning. Having heard what you have heard of this God, having seen what you have seen, knowing what you know, can you draw the same conclusion? That he is the God of heaven and earth. Because your God parted the Red Sea so his people could walk through. Your God defeated the kings of Sion and Og. Your God took a shepherd boy and used him to defeat a giant. Your God stepped down and held shut the mouths of lions so that one of his people would be saved. Your God stood in a fiery furnace so his people would not burn. Your God chose to take on human flesh and suffer, to experience everything it was to be human, to know the pain of loss, to weep. Your God wept. Your God went to a cross. And your God died for you. And your God came to life again. Knowing what you know, hearing what you've heard, knowing what you know, can you say, will you today say you are the God of heaven and earth? Because your God is the God of heaven and earth. Can you draw that conclusion this morning, even amongst pain and grieving, in amongst fear and difficulty, that your God is the God of heaven and earth? The Almighty, the All-Powerful. Because if you can, Rahab has more to teach us. Rahab isn't just mentioned in Hebrews. She's mentioned again in the New Testament. I cannot explain how rare this is. But she is mentioned again in the book of James. James is a harsh teacher. If you ever read the book of James, there's not a lot of room to hide. And so to be commended by James, it's like one of those teachers, the harshest teacher you have at school. When they say you've done well, you're kind of like, blimey, I must have done well. James mentions Rahab in a passage once again about faith, but this time a passage about faith in action. If you come to that same conclusion, Rahab has something else to teach us, to put that faith into action. She saves these spies. It's brilliant. Definitely go back and read this story again and definitely try and imagine it as if it's a, it would just make such a brilliant TV show, like a soap opera, or even better, like a fantasy epic. It's just incredible. I mean, read it again, but she saves these spies. She lets them down out of the window and tells them to go to the mountains for 3 days and then head back over the river. But before they go, she puts her faith into action. She believes in this God, and so she rescues these spies. But before they go, she exacts a promise from them. She asks them to rescue her, to protect her, to not let her and her family be destroyed in this coming destruction. And they agree. And they say to her, yes, everyone in your household will be saved, but what you have to do is put a scarlet cord out of your window, a scarlet rope out of your window so that we know to pass by. We're supposed to notice in this moment that she will be passed by, that she will be rescued, that death will not visit her house if she puts this scarlet cord outside of her window. And we're meant to notice this. We're meant to look back and say, hang on, this is exactly what happened with the people of Israel. When judgment came to Egypt and God sent the angel of death into Egypt, they were told to put the blood of a lamb over their door frames. And in doing so, the angel of death would pass over and they would find mercy in a place of judgment. In this moment, we're supposed to see this scarlet cord. It's no coincidence, it's red. It's meant to look the same. It's meant to show us that she is going to be passed by. That in a moment of judgment, mercy is going to pass by. Mercy is going to be given to her. That death will not visit her house that day. But it's also supposed to help us look forward. It's supposed to help us look back to that moment. But in this moment, it's supposed to make us look forward again to another moment where a very different lamb will shed his blood. We're supposed to look forward to a moment where a new covenant, a new agreement is formed, where God forgives sins because of the shedding of another's blood. We're supposed to look forward to Jesus on the cross, to see that in the shedding of his blood, when we are covered by his blood, I don't like that term, but when that blood is placed over our lives, that death loses its power over us. The mercy is given to us. That while death still touches us, while it still touches our lives, it cannot hold us. It must pass us over because of his blood. Because of his cross. Because of his resurrection. Because he came to rescue. Rahab points forward because of her faith in the God of heaven and earth. And she is saved. We'll read that in a few passages' time. She is saved by a scarlet cord, by the God of heaven and earth. She is protected. The story continues, and the spies eventually make it back to Joshua, and they give a report that is almost certainly longer than what we read here. However, there's something interesting about this report is what we get recorded are exactly Rahab's words. Her words are pretty much word for word given to Joshua as the report. And that might seem not that impressive, but these words would have been an incredible encouragement to the people of Israel. You know, before any battle, usually what would happen in terms of Israel, what I've been reading, is that a prophet or a priest would come out and they would exhort them. They would tell them of God. They would tell them of all the things that God has done and all the things that God is going to do in order to encourage them. And in this moment, Rahab does this for the Israelites. They gain their confidence. Their faith is bolstered by her faith. And it sets us an example, because let's be real. There are days where faith is easy, where God pours out his spiritual gift of faith, where believing and having confidence in him is just so simple. And there are days where it's really hard. But what Rahab shows us is we are meant to encourage each other. On those days where your faith is just a trickle, we are meant to look towards our brothers and sisters whose faith today is like a torrent. I've been speaking to people who week who, some of who have had great days and are finding it very easy to be strong and courageous, finding it very easy to have faith. And on those days, they have bolstered me. And on other days, I have found people who have struggled and have found my faith bolstering them. This is how it is meant to be. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, in this time of difficulty and sadness and grieving and loss and pain, if you are having a day where God has poured out his spirit on you and you are feeling strong and courageous and you have faith in abundance, please share it. Please encourage one another, build each other up. And on those days where your faith is just a trickle, find your brothers and sisters. Ask them for their help. Ask them to remind you once again, to remind you why they believe. To ask them why they know that your God is the God of heaven and earth. Let us build each other up. And let me tell you this morning, I know where you're at, but today I believe that my God is a God of love. That he has won the victory over death. And that he is the God of heaven and of earth. Let's just pray. Lord, you don't expect us to be perfect. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that you want to walk with us in the good times and the bad times. And Lord, I thank you that you are the God of heaven and of earth. Help us to have faith. Help us to have your strength and your courage. Spirit, we ask you to pour out the spiritual gift of faith into our lives this day. Help us encourage one another. And Jesus, we ask you, draw us closer to you. In your wonderful name, we ask. Amen.